No, 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 no. Thank you. Can we give over to the CEO of Tata? We only have one item on the agenda, that's consideration of the annual report of the African Social Security Agency for the 2012-2013 financial year. Over to you, Mr. Speaker, and we also introduce your staff. Also, special welcome to the Zane Dunkel, who's a special advisor to the Minister of Social Development. Over to you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Committee. I'm going to ask my team to introduce themselves. I'll just say to the Committee, I've moved some of the rent from the provinces, but I feel it's important the issues that are raised in the Committee affect the work on the ground directly, and they should be exposed to the Committee in terms of who to recall when some of the issues are. The office represents the strategic intent. The operation happens on time, so I'm going to start with Don Dunphy.
Thank you, Chair. Don and I'm Kelly from Grant Administration.
Good morning,
Good morning, Lorenzo Lacari from New York.
Good morning, Professor Machalohani, the
Dancer. Good morning,
Good morning, Committee. I'm Chosen Makwal, the new TTG for Comprehensive Social Security at the Department of Social Security. I started on Wednesday.
Let me give you a back of your fire. When you address the Social Security Chair, so the Honourable Chair first. No, I'm just giving you, and then when you address us in general, you say the question that honourable members say. So we are honourable members, not your honourable members.
That's a good word, can't you?
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Today, I will advise the National Minister of Social Development.
Good morning, Chief. Good morning, Honourable Nicholas Frank of Tata Operations, Victoria.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. Robert Advance, that's our list.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Pat and I for representing a strategy and the system.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Jerry Reeves and I'm the Research Deputy Manager for Parkway.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Mohan Mohani from Obayama.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Bandre Makahoka from the State.
I'm Taleo, Executive Manager from here today. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'm Renee Odo, and I'm the Court Management and Compliance Factor.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair. Sir, my name is Del Pogo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We have received first week our review on the year 2013. Just to say by way of introduction, Chairperson, we found that the year under review was one of the most challenging, one of the most exciting, one of the most, it brought data integrity to our data. That signifies the type of year we had. And we will explain as we talk things like new registration. But I think that says on with its own capacity and resources, Honourable Chair, was able to do its own financial statements without the company for the first time in a while. Because when I arrived there, a company had been contracted post the 2009 year where there was a disclaimer to actually do the financials and work hand in hand with that. So while it was difficult and challenging, we also had the most yield in a year than one can have, and I thought it was in looking at the performance during that year. The overview of our presentation was the Act of Performance 2012-13, the budget and expenditure 2012-13, as well as the audit outcomes and the challenges. Members are aware of the changes of SACRA industry and public entity, but I think more so we need to reflect on whether SACRA has finally achieved that outcome, because in some parts it still operates as a department, and we need to look at that more clearly, and some adjustments might have to be made to the SACRA Act to give us the full status, because the other three entities are, and we need to look at the further autonomy in achieving how we do our business, whether we should be doing it through, for example, leasing through public work, we should be able to do it for ourselves. So we're looking at the future of actually doing that. But during the year under review, we used all those entities to assist us. The Constitution is our founding document, the Social Assistance Act, and obviously the SACRA Act. Our vision remains in leading the delivery of social security services, and we'd like to say that we're claiming that title every day, internationally and nationally, to administer quality customer-centric social security services to eligible and potential beneficiaries, and our slogan remains in jobs. The key priorities are excellent customer care, automation of systems, improving organizational capacity, and promoting good governance. The strategic objective is to ensure that eligible beneficiaries receive benefits to improve the quality of service delivery to our customers, to achieve a pre-integrated and automated social assistance service, to ensure that agencies optimally capacitated for optimal service delivery. Again, we stress that the agency has a depth in terms of its footprint, in terms of service points, of which there are 900 plus, and 335 local offices, and obviously the management centers of district offices and the head office and provincial offices. Well, just want to comment on our pay points, you know, the 9,000, as a result of our card and different channels being brought on board. The 9,000 people we currently looking at in to clarify what is considered a payment and how many people at this time, because we've brought further channels into the business. So I think that's important to note as we look at upgrades on offices and payments. In terms of the period under review, if we look at grant, which is our business, at the end, the 31st of March 2013, 16.1061 million grant repayment. I think the re-registration, as I said earlier, was the flagship of the work during the year under the review. But the decision taken to do the re-reg meant that some of the targets that were set 3 years prior in terms of how planning is done in government, we had adjusted, because if we had taken those targets, we would only have done 500,000 or 400,000 of the reviews instead of doing the entire population on the grant system, which was just under 22 million. So when you see that 31% of citizens indicate that the targets are not met, because it was taken in a particular way, technically we exceeded all those by doing re-registration. Hence you'll see the 69% achievement of the annual target. Performance information. When we look at the objective to improve the reach and qualifying eligible assistance to beneficiaries, we will see that 1.2 million new applications in fact were managed, but we also need to see that 863,000 grants were either voluntarily cancelled, during use or death, because whilst we take on, we also shed on a monthly basis for various reasons, and the breakdown of the grants are cited. In terms of trends, in terms of growth, we will take note that there's a declining trend in terms of the growth. If we look at 2008 and 2009, it was 5.2% annual growth. There was a high watermark of 7.5% in the 2019 year, then it climbed to 6.2% in 2011,
and then 4.2, and then we'll see it coming down to 3.27%. Now we must take heed of the fact that this was the re-registration year, so the annual growth in fact had declined. I will go to the word part of the grant analysis page. Thanks, Beth. The overall grant benefits uptake increased by 3.27% between 2012 and 2012-13. There was an increase in all but three grant types, which is war veterans, disability and foster child grants due to the attrition rate and effective review. At 4.45%, old age grants were shown to be more than normal growth, 2% year on year. This was due to the increase in the threshold criteria and instead. You will recall that we in fact contacted the government employee pension fund and made a concerted effort to write to everybody who was getting a smaller pension from GEPF to say that they in fact would qualify. So we have reached out, we've got the dark aspect, we have informed people, and we must say there was a good yield from that effort by SATA and yes. The number of disability grants decreased due to the improved management of temporary disability grant applications and more stringent screening and assessment of permanent disability. Grants in aid have increased, and we're very happy that they have, because there are older persons in our community, in fact, who get people to say go shopping for them once a week or help them with certain things. Now, the additional 300 rand is being added to the pension, where the beneficiary has to pay the person directly. These are particularly older people over 25 who are in need of some assistance. They're not frail to the extent that they need constant care, but there are older persons living in their own homes who require some attention of an external person. 300 is not lost a month. The same value as a child support grant, but it is useful for the older person if they need that assistance. So we're actually going to be promoting that quite strongly this year. Improvements in the grant application process. All aware of the process, but more importantly, we see that 90% of our grants were paid up in 21 days. We will also see the impact of that on litigation if we use our litigation space to be able to pay people within the time required. In terms of the improvement of the local office and service work, we have set two of the critical infrastructure. Being a particular pattern, look and feel, looks like the airport chairs, but we have cubicles, the transport on top of each other. We put out paper marking. We put out branding on the offices. We're really trying to improve. We're still dealing with things like ramping for people with wheelchairs. With some of the buildings on lease, and it has to be with negotiations through public works with people who own the building. 72 local offices and 400 pain points were targeted for upgrades. The achievement has 95 local offices improved, of which 23 more than the annual target. This brings the total of upgraded offices to 259 out of about 335 offices as local offices we have. We will also look at service points in the future to see which of those could be added to local office status, depending on how many people actually live in that area. In terms of the pay points, as I said before, 692 pay points were upgraded. We're also looking at how do we deal with pay points in the future as that changes the business case. Re-registration, the project targeted 22 million beneficiaries, recipients and procurators. By the end of the financial year, that's the 31st March 2013, 18.19 people have been successfully re-registered. To remind members again, that would have been a photograph, 10 fingerprints, the biometric card issued to the citizens in order to enable payment as part of the enrollment process. I obviously have figures for each of the provinces that still required. Members are interested, but at that point, most of the provinces were starting to hit the 90s. I think Cochrane was at 88% at that time because of child support. And child support was the lowest take up a village and all persons with the greatest pleasure forward in their numbers. So it was a good year for practice to engage directly with the citizens that we serve, to have that face-to-face contact. I think some parts, there were difficulties, and we must be honest, that experienced pressure in some of the venues for re-registration. But we can say safely that that process is now completed, and to have led to a clean audit in the Department of Social Development, which was also useful for them. Improvement in the payment process. The Smart Park, as we all know, is underwritten by the World Bank and endorsed by MasterCard. They've issued more than 10 million cards, almost equal to the big, large bank in this country right now, and those are cards. It's both thin and biometric. And citizens can obviously access their payment through four different payment channels, where they were two previously. I think there are issues with our customers that continue to call us about bank charges, because if they have a secondary bank account and they ask for a balance or go to an ATM, they will pay the same ATM cost as anybody else. We've had meetings with the Reserve Bank to see how we can deal with this. They have said that's not their core mandate, but they are talking to the company banking and their structure to put our issue on that agenda, but it's not their direct mandate. But we do believe that the card should do much more for our beneficiaries. It should be a savings card. It could become a loyalty card. They could get the discount on the card. So we have to see how to promote that in the future. But during the year under review, the card was introduced. We also discovered that more and more of our people were getting their money in the first 3 days, but almost 7 days to get the first payment cycle done. They previously were taking things Monday. And that, in fact, was really a great benefit to our people, to be able, for poor people, to be included in this way and be able to go to a store and pass their card like anybody else. And I felt it increased the dignity of our beneficiaries when using this actual card. The brand is now well known. We can say that people recognize ACTA as the government giving grant attention. Integrated Community Registration and Outreach Program, ICROP, this was intended to reach 40 communities, but we know about 2,000 poverty wards in the country, and particularly during Wealthy Month, Minister has made very clear that we had to actually reach out so much more. We've already seen the allegations of children not being on power support grant, and everybody tended to believe that that's in the rural areas, which in fact is true for some. But some research has been conducted actually says that those children are in the periphery of cities. They're in informal areas in cities, the ivory parks, the massive communities. Those areas are where those children are. Their parents are working but under earning, and they haven't come forward. So we would like to obviously continue communicating, and want to thank the portfolio committee for always encouraging us to speak to our beneficiaries. I think last year there was a call that we should communicate more. Now we hope that we actually, honourable chair, and communicate to the best of our ability, and will continue to talk to our people. So we reached out to 430 wards in the year under review, and it was 61,000 people actually came forward. Automation remains a target for the agency in terms of factors being driven by a system. Currently, stock paying in future will be replaced. But as we work to that level, we've got to look at our investment right now to make sure that it's a step towards the future. We can't go on a path that's not sustainable. Members, honorable members, will recall that Minister recently launched an advisory committee. So the work done under that year just seeks to make sure this doesn't work. The four-step model is in place, but as we're moving towards our future of digital beneficiary business platforms, those are the development plans and the basis. Fraud management, always a key factor. The target was being set, 50% of the fraud cases identified, 78% of the fraud cases were investigated. and 98% of the suspicious grants were verified for validity. I think we must also look at, during that time, there were significant events during the re-registration. There's a place called Mishlatini, for example, where during re-registration, people were re-registering at the house. So we will continue to deal with syndicated fraud within SACRA. We also turn the focus more from individuals to top of SACRA. We must make that clear as a point. They form a part. So I think our investigative capacity and our claims analysis and our ability to detect have increased, and therefore we'll see an increase. But also our beneficiaries are speaking to us, whether it's through the hotline, and that's important to say what's happening, and it is obvious and evidenced by certain arrests that have been made. But to reassure this committee that we are constant and vigilant in the fight with a zero tolerance approach to staff involved in the behavior. Thank you. In terms of legal services, as I said before, the number of litigation cases has decreased from 249 in 2011-12 to 89 in 2012-13. Before I said that as the root causes are obviously SACRA's ability to be more efficient and effective in the delivery of its services, thereby reducing litigation. Obviously litigation costs due to cases we are involved in and which have been written about. Continuously increasing, but that's because of one specific case at the heart of the matter, which is the tender matter. In terms of organizational capacity, one of the agency's priorities is to constantly look at capacity, but we must bear in mind, in 2017, SACRA will be paying out its own grant and pension, so staff as an employee now has to fit in with the model for the future. So we can't overpopulate the staff on applications. Knowing that it will be streamlined through an automated service, we have to understand where that service, what that model will look like, because we'll be doing payments as well. So I said to the staff, we're quite rigorous, that only critical quotes and replacement quotes are sold in. We don't want to sit with the labor situation further on and then have to retrench because we have too many applications gone. So you will see that we are very vigilant in how we will appoint each. REN has been given a targeted post for this year, and the government is looking at keeping the staffing bill down. Treasury has sat with us, and even if I said I need more help in this area. In the future, we'll have to CapEx particularly on ICT. A very small group of people at the moment, but it's no good taking on people if you don't know what system will drive the end-to-end solution in the future. So when it comes to staffing, you'll see the number remains low. It's in line with the thinking within the organization as well. In terms of the budget and expenditure for the year under review, and the audited financial outcomes, the senior strategic focus of SACRA remains the administration and payment of social grants. The significant achievement, as I said earlier, was the turning around of the agency's financial position, whereby an accumulative overdraft of $839 million has now been turned around completely. Cost containment measures obviously played a large key during that time, and when I came into the agency, as I said to the committee, I felt in fact sometimes that have hamstrung service delivery and had to liberate that a bit more. The majority of the budget, 34% on compensation of employees, followed by cash handling fee of 32%, while the balance takes for operational expenses such as office accommodation, cleaning, security, travel, etc. The office accounts for 50% of the budget due to the cash handling fee paid to the service provider, and the remaining 50% is divided amongst the regions. KZN and Eastern Cape accounts for the majority of the regional share, but that's in terms of the high number of grant beneficiaries in those provinces, and followed on by housing, but housing being smaller in land, and therefore less leasing to be done there. There was an adjustment for the 2012-13 budget. It was reduced from 6 during the adjustment process, that was the action mark. Could you give an indication of how that was accounted for during that review? There was forced by Treasury, forced tax, they called those efficiency gains, you just have to make it within the money allocated. The Minister of Finance introduced and announced those. But we also had, because of foster care and the court case linked to the foster care program, that's factored in work. In fact, it itself does not have social workers to do this work. Social development has social workers to do this work, and 100 million was transferred to make sure that we pay up so that that work could be done. We also have a hotline with public service commissions that we pay for, and we can see the suspension of the money from our budget there. On slide 32. Slide 34 and 5 just gives an overview in terms of the economic classification of how, I mean, the compensation of employees was 34%, 32% and the previous is cash handling, and the goods and services 30%. 36 further gives that breakdown and says that 94% of the budget was spent at 342 million. And which we can safely say was returned to the staffer for the purchase of the cars that it needed. It was an issue towards the end of that financial year about truly making available certain dealerships that you have to use for certain cars they would like you to purchase. Factor in terms of the roads you have to travel and the terrain and the long hours of people who have to go to service points, it was very clear that you couldn't just take a number one car or we needed to have a bit of safety built in for our workers. We also needed to have a 1.6 car in various instances because of to reduce risk of stopping on the road so much to service safely. So we finally have managed to use the money intended for the purchase of the car, which that will have its own bits here. In terms of the overall head office summary of expenditure, that is provided on slide 57. And then obviously the summary of all regions per economic classification, where again compensation of employees is 99% spend. You'll see that the 105% spend on goods and services, this was due to the re-registration program that we ran. In terms of things that were required. In instances, we said because people had to wait that we would be heading government and provide a sami with a cool drink and a fruit. So for older persons, you know, you couldn't leave them without something to eat during, and sometimes it was hot, sometimes it was cold, that it was that kind of year that the provinces were asked actually to buy just a light snack all the people during re-registration, and that accounts for some of that overspend. Spending trends, compensation, as I said before, is the key, and business services. Now, I also need to say during this particular year, communication and with evidence were a key driver of our work. We could have spent triple the amount that we actually spent if we had a service provider, because we initially had gone out and tried to tender for it and then looked at how much the intermediaries were actually wanting to charge us for placing ads on our behalf or buying television space. And in the end, we went up to GCIS all ourselves and used every single newspaper and community newspapers to do this. And whilst for the large things, I think the reward is that we can say simply that almost spend 1.8 by now to assist us to some of the people who didn't have to re-reach had to be registered. Out of the 22 million, because of all using every available media source that people could connect with us in terms of re-registration. But it's more than that. It actually builds a relationship between us and the customer. We obviously, there's an understanding in our future services, but this is due to, as I said before, looking at the future of automation. And we had wanted to get the biometric system in place to start, and we still struggling to get this. Because whilst people attended, we found out there were very few companies in South Africa who actually took it. And people were reminding us back of the second or third party and putting forward a tender when they didn't quite understand what they were tendering for. So I think one of us is really looking to this business when lots of people are trying to change it for something, they're buying third and second class. I mean, there's only one company on this side and three companies in another country who can do this business. And also we want to also try and align culture and limit it, so that will make a more, a greater interoperability. We speak to, obviously, the cash handling fees with the new contract. This obviously has created a saving there, reducing it from an average of 30 to 16.44. Leasing. We're still working with the Department of Public Works, and it's quite a heated process, and we are looking at doing this work differently in the future, as I said earlier. I will go to the Auditor General report of the Chairperson of the Commission. We're very happy. We always be happy to be better, but we are happy that we have an unqualified audit based on the fact that we did it ourselves. We had difficulty. Some things were so misstated, and I accept responsibility for that, Honourable Chair. But I think it does make us feel as an organisation that we graduated the level for which we are paid to do the work and should not have companies come and do the work on our behalf. So in terms of the matters of emphasis, obviously we have the all-pay matter, which by the 31st of March had gone to the Supreme Court of Appeals, and we were very happy with the favourable result of that court engagement. Because the stigma of saying that the process wasn't conducted properly and sitting aside, you know, obviously, and it's also indicated by the, particularly the court of the Supreme Court's judgment. We have been, however, to the Constitutional Court, but that's a matter for another time, Jeff, because that has just happened in September. And we await the outcome of that. In terms of legal and regulatory requirements, as said earlier, 31% of the predetermined objectives were not achieved. After the cohort, it was 80, the number of planned targets, and 25 were not achieved. And there are various reasons for that, and some being the way we do our work. We continue in this financial year, however, we have aligned more strongly with the way in which sector wants to do its work. The AG did not identify any instances of material non-compliance with specific matters and key applicable rules and regulations as set out in the general notice. The AMICA national statements were submitted for auditing were not supported by full and proper records, I could say, that as we done it, so there were some material misstatements that had to be dealt with. In terms of the internal control, these are things we're going to have to look at very carefully, where in fact there were some limitations. It is appropriate staffing, first of all, to do the job, and in having proper frameworks and plans. We have said to the Auditor General, in fact, that we have submitted and we have submitted a full plan to address limitations that were picked up, and at any time if this committee would like to hear more about this, Chair. But we have given it to the auditor because we read again for our pre-audit season, so that they've looked at that. In terms of investigations, non-compliance to supply chain management, I in fact asked the SIU to help me with supply chain management. This is an area that we needed to look at. The issue was these general rules by Treasury. The inspector has its own set of instructions, and we need to just get it working properly. And so many times I felt that I had to pull processes because of the way in which we accept the spec for attended items. That's where the difficulty comes. So you need expertise in that area to manage the spec. But once you put the set up, and then once you get back, you're bound to accept that even if you can see obvious glaring failures, yes, those become an issue. So we have the fact that people are getting assistance. The challenges. I think the payment in attending court, as I said, the issue that has been living in constitutional court. Complaints regarding ongoing deductions on the tax of card, that's a challenge. And the implementation of poor management strategy, had to close up some offices, do I close offices like the village, etc., and then I have to bring in another team. I just want to give the instance of one office in case it ends with everybody in the office has cholesterol. It was a local office. So those things happen. But as I said before, we committed to a zero tolerance, and that will obviously bring more reported cases. Thank you, Chester.
Thank you, for the presentation. We are going to allow issues to come on in the morning. Can I give you an indication of the morning? Thank you. Thank you, Shabuki. It's nothing. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Shabuki, and welcome to the presentation from the Department of SASA. And mine, I don't know, maybe to the comment or to the question, but this is based on the cross, on the I-cross. Chaperton, I love this ICOP program. This upfish ICOP program from the Chaperton. I think it will help to change the COVID from our community. As the department clarified the work this year in the document that they will be supported by the ICOP, which I would like to if ICOP to come to where I'm deploying chair in Ivory Bank to help the people who are there in Ivory Bank. My concerns, separate, no matter people that they can laugh, but my concerns, I must talk about where I come from, where when I'm the chair. I know that I'm in the national party. I experienced this COVID where I'm deployed Chaperton. Also, Chaperton, when you talk about the document that says Chaperton, talk about the capacity improvement in the department. Chaperton, I would like to understand about the Maponia Mall chair. Remember when we were in Maponia Mall, people were crying, they is how they involved chair and said about the officials there who are not want to service people, also they are shouting them like they are doing them for the favor. Chair said, I want to understand about the capacity. Now there are those officials improving the capacity to service the people in housing, in the regional, one of the housing region, chair. Because I'm glad the regional supervisor here, actually, even he was there when the people were crying in front of another.
Just a point of order. Presentation about the 2012-2013 financial year. Well, you should reflect on the issues raised in the annual report of the department. Okay? Yeah, and then you can take those issues up later, because that is part of our
oversight.
So, we have to refer to issues raised in the annual report, in the presentation, which is the presentation itself.
Okay. Well, Chairman, thank you. My name is on the iPod.
Okay. Honourable Moore?
Thank you, Chairperson. Before even starting my session, I just want to register my disappointment and Chairperson of this. I think it's important that, we improve in terms of the standards of the community. It is not so remember to be safe from even the first time. So,
Please focus on your question,
please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus on your question, please. Please focus
when you check on page 21, I mean, for this financial year, it has increased to million or billion? Billion.
Billion.
Yeah, it has increased. And this is a lot of money that we could be channeling somewhere in SAFA in terms of either, you know, giving more people grants, you know, or the children the grants that we have. My question to this is, I wonder what the government is doing to show everything. I've seen the trend from 2012, that it is the truth, but I'm worried that the expenditure is not so high, particularly that problem. And then when you go to page 23 of the same report, under table 5, possibly not down, 2.7, I don't know what the million is, because I don't know what to do with it. It's very high, to call it back under 3G, sorry, talk about line. It's very high, and I'm not sure what has been different for maybe minimum package in terms of why it's so high in the Kwazulu Natal province. I mean, the amount that has been there, or the number of child about land, people are accessing it, whatever. There may be any research done just to check why it's so high in Kwazulu Natal, you know.
Thank you. Honorable Bulani, Honorable Kumana.
Thank you, Chair. I think the fact that we welcome the unqualified report, and we also love the efforts of progress of achievements in the various areas. And I'm quite sure that this has happened to the children in Southern United because of the value of work that is put in. And therefore, it's important that what we see as a clear reflection is that you are visualizing an entity for the future. And what's remarkable is that, you know, you're cutting your throat according to your food. You're cutting your food according to your throat. And what's welcoming is that, while the AG has pointed out certain concerns, perhaps maybe, you know, in your areas of the programs that you need to achieve, How would you translate that into the resolution that can align to the AAP's project to add more value? The concerns you may mention about the issues of the SAFA park and the amounts in deducted airtime, funeral costs, etc. And I'm glad that the Minister has made a statement on that and the matter has been mediated. But what do you visualize? You know, shouldn't there be some sort of legislation or something coming from a directive from national that directs to these companies that no deduction should be for your viewer? The issue of the system. You know, your re-registration has taken place and you are quite happy you have achieved a lot of outcomes. What about cleansing the system? You know, although you have completed the fingerprints, etc., how the admin part of the system, to get that out of the system? Okay, just a few more things. The issue of social development, SAFA, do you have officials that cleanse the system? I'm glad to hear that you started the 350 watts. Do you have people seated on that forum? And does it translate into, you know, information that can access you? The spot that you're referring to, have you listed those people? Do you have names of those people? Did you throw them in prison? Did you throw the keys in the ocean? And in terms of skills, that's the last one. You're speaking about competence, etc. Are you aligning your vision to the national development plan, and how do you translate
Martin, and then I'll close it on the tomorrow.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. If I can just get some clarity on page 20, where you talked about the ATM law bank charge to apply. Would that be for a sort of an asset asset, or is it Grimrod to standard charges? Because if you don't use the correct or the take out card for the ATM, then you pay extra. So can you just clarify that when you said normal bank charges? Then our home visits for the elderly and disabled for re-registration, can you give us an indication as to when that will be finalized, what date you are working towards? And then also, I mean, Honourable Buddha's raised the fact about CPS abusing the fact that they are distributing grants or administering grants and they're selling airtime and offering loans within the precinct of the payout foot. Can you inform us what's happening with regards to that specifically, and whether there's any penalty clauses, in the contract that prevents them from doing so and that they actually get a penalty for abusing the system and abusing the elderly specifically. Because I see from the financials, and maybe I'm reading them wrong, but the cash handling fee is 1.947 billion, which is nearly 2 billion rand to CPS for administering the grants, if they are abusing their position. And so what I want to know what specific fine are they facing in this regard. And then just on the FIU report, which pertains to this financial year, so in the FIU report, it says high-risk suppliers identified, and the AG also mentioned this in the findings as well. It says the travel company was paid 22 million by SASA, however it has been red flagged. How did this happen? A security company was paid more than 60 million by SASA and was also red flagged. How did this happen? 23 suspicious transactions involving a printing company were identified. Can you please explain that? And allegations of corruption were received via the anti-corruption hotline relating to outsourcing of medical assessment of disability. Can you also give us some briefing on what has been in that regard? Thank you, Jefferson.
The meeting procedure, whenever it has a policy on its item on agenda, it's open for everyone to report or record a policy. The lecture made by Honorable Morris about the late coming of the SSC was uncalled for, hence the apology of me today. Chairperson, let's just welcome the report. Some of my question has been taken, and I won't go to them. But I just want to check on the if there is any measures that are in place, if there are any, of looking at the continuation of the re-registration, and there are a lot of outstanding out of finalizing the re-registration on this financial year. I believe there are still outstanding that need to be reconsidered. Is there any measures that in future it will be a continuation? Going straight interesting to the implementation of the fraud management strategy, which led out some of office to that totally closed. I'm sure they are, because I haven't seen any on your recommendation, which tells us as to whether you'll be taking plans of opening those offices with the few fresh staff that will be making sure that those offices are functioning properly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you,
Chairperson. Let me congratulate SASA for unqualified audit report. and just to tell them that they are looking beautiful with their uniform in front of us. It happens, I think, my plea is that I hear from the CEO before that they are offices that they have upgraded. So I just want to ask them to give us the those offices and their location for oversight purposes, and we congratulate them for exceeding their exact target. And then the other question is, do you have any mechanism to increase, to challenge and not recover debt from the staff? And then the other one is about the traffic fines. I hear that the money that has been paid for traffic fines, do you have any policy on that, and how do you make sure that those staff who are responsible, because I think we are having a road signs and laws that guide us to drive on the road. How are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, on page 48 of the slide 48, you said there was an agency that comes out. What did you do to make sure that the beneficiaries are catered for so that we don't suffer because of our share? Thank you, Chairman.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Apollo. I think the take-up rate on some of the grant types is quite heartening, especially, I think it's a grant.
Okay.
I think it's a granting aid that shows significant improvement, and also the PhD certificate, which also shows that it's a significant improvement for the year until the end of the year, that's between 12 to 13 financial year. So I would like to congratulate the staff for that achievement. Also, if you look at the PhD state of rating, also a significant improvement as well as your foster child grant. As well as your old age grant. That is very good. In terms of the targets achieved, can you please explain to us why only 40% of targets, 37% of targets were achieved? Just to clarify that, I think there was some reflection in the meeting we had with social development, just to reflect on that again, in terms of performing targets. And obviously you adjusted, I don't know whether I've missed that in the presentation, whether you've adjusted your performance targets accordingly. Then I think what is really important, if you could explain to the benefit of the members, the risk involved in running a system with plus minus 16 million beneficiaries that are in payment. Because you shouldn't treat, my opinion is you shouldn't treat, you have incidents of fraud as an anomaly. It will happen in the system. It depends on the percentage of incidents and how you manage to address. And as you suffer from reoccurring. The one issue I would like the PO to explain to us is the interface with other government systems. And I think that should be part of the response. The government department really very well, and we had a presentation of it last year. Especially relevant because we're talking about 2012, 2013, about the issue of cross-border beneficiation of corporate. The people that live in Swaziland and live in Mozambique, I live in a province, I live in Mafoni, I live in a province, I live in Bula, I live in a province, I live in Kumala, where the border, which borders other countries. cloud has been a real reduction in terms of that cross-border payment. I think you also reported to us the issue of international payments to beneficiaries that also been monitored and stopped. People have been alerted that it can only be for certain periods out of the country itself. I think that is really important also for the committee to know. You have, in terms of your regional managers, how many females do you have, CL, in terms of your regional, only one female?
No, three.
For regional managers, I'm talking about regional managers.
That's three.
Yeah. And how many are there today?
Two.
Only one. One and two, okay. So you've got three out of nine. Okay. You're working on a top of people. So, yeah, I think you need more representation in terms of the gender issue, the female parity issue, the gender parity issue at the regional level. Also, I mean, I can speak about social development for another day, but they also need something. There has been a bit, but not significant. In terms of, yeah, I don't ask to dwell too much on issues of in the newspaper now, because it's going to dilute the discussion we have on the annual report. We can actually reflect on that at the next stage. But let us stick to the annual report that we have in front of us. I think can you just reflect on us the resolution that you, and the recommendations that the committee made on the recommendations we made as a committee to the House with regard to your annual report and your 2011-2012 mandatory year in terms of those recommendations that we, in our opinion, needed to be corrected. Did you implement that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the IPOP, with more comments, and we appreciate that, and we will deepen our IPOP to all the policy boards, but it's a planning exercise. If we say that that's what we achieved and we overachieved a bit, it was only because we were prodded, but it does take planning to go because we have to take a path team to the end. In trying to reach what's called the 2 million, and that is that term when they say 2 million can't be found, or 2 million children still need to be found. But in that work, could we have identified certain informed areas of which our department is one? We will intensify our IPOP. And the IPOP is a working for us. I know the vehicles that we use it brings us to communities, it works for us. And so that's something we're watching in place. I want to comment on that. So this 1%, we've spoken to that right from the beginning. If I look at reviews in some areas, as I said, when I arrived in SAS, they were written a strategic plan for a 3-year period. And I think the mistake, and I admitted to the mistake we made, was not to come back to Parliament and say, we change things in order to work on our resources. That was the simple mistake. The achievements that we have ever made, not take us to another level to get ready for taking over the business, and that's what we should do. Risk management, this has been a vexing area, in fact, particularly the nature, because the risk comes at many different levels. We have systems risk, and our solution is that we will biometrically enroll our staff in the first level. You've got to put firewalls into your end-to-end solution. We know that top 10, wow, of course, the most reliable that we have, because that doesn't keep me awake at night. Because I know on the first, the download of the information which would have happened 4 days before the payment data, we will transfer to the payment contractor. At least that works. So you've got to look at the risk of bringing in a system that's looking to get management in.
will now have a written on the chair that actually identifies the five key steps to reduce the risk. Some are systemic, others is on the human. Some is a lack of training to get compliant. As I said before, if you don't write the tender step, then that's the risk. Because whatever you may choose to do, it might not give you the 100% that you require. So risk is receiving a lot more attention. We started late last year, but too late. So the end of the year, there's some things are still being done. I think in reflection this year, when we come back to this committee, you will have identified risk management plan. So mitigation, do you want to speak to this with each of you, okay?
The reason why we have such a large number of education is simply because most education attendees were not aware of the amendments to the regulation where they originally considered the mechanism was introduced.
Mm.
Where you have to wait 90 days for you to report to court. So that's the reason why we have that number, because they also called before such a finalized legislation. Thank you.
In terms of the KZN number of children, I'll ask Mr. Dango to respond in terms of policy perspective and the numbers.
Thank you. I think the fact that the central bank was supported in our time in the rest of children in the
Mr. Dango, could you just
reflect child policy in KZN. The largest number of orphans, maternal, first-term, and double. In addition, when you look at child poverty rate itself, KZN has followed different cases with 71% of number of children living in poverty. So within different cases, the highest 73%, and in poverty, 70% of children living in poverty have been living in poverty. But obviously, KZN will be higher in these cases because the actual number is small, because it's the second biggest problem. So it really does, it's a self-targeting, so we're beginning to reach the children who need it most. Especially with child support grant, I don't think we have challenges in the KZN.
Thank you,
Mr. Campbell.
In terms of all just the general concerns, if I look at things like payable, it's how fast you clear your books and how fast you pay your bills. If we made it a difference to find any city direction we don't, so these things have got hold us back on that. In terms of active management, I think at the end of that financial year we had an active tracking system introduced. But I think it was all too problems that we didn't get one of that we saw was working on the system at the time of the audit. And I said before we developed a collective plan for the auditor, quite an extensive plan. In fact, in our meeting just last week, we're looking at what we said the issue was per problem and what the solution will have to be on each line item of the management letter that the auditor. And as they're going to pre-order, they are going to use that cloud. I'm with myself and going with this advantage because I've rolled out a team by identifying it to the actual physical site where the problem was and saying that if the auditor comes back again with a listing, the names know. Because we've got to fix that, we've got to gear ourselves up for even a greater responsibility for when we pay out. So there were absolute flaws in some of the issues, some only one foot was used. We need no different processes. And so there's a misconduct board that we use, including for one. This is just negligence on the part of the workers. But there are things like workers bumping into a thing by mistake. The matter of regulation around some of the current issues with regard to the service provider, I suppose we should speak to. We started off with saying that deductions can only be up to 10% per 26A in our act. When I discovered that ultimately, and they are all people, the first child that goes to university, they have made known. And when we wanted to close that out immediately, they were, the loan shops were trying to come in back for a triple amount of pay. And then my baby, the Wim Hallmark
people, I called in all the mechanisms, not the best people I work with. I explained to them what conditions were. I told them what is the percentage, and I told them how it's best paid for. And the 1st of June this year, we reduced that to 10% only for payroll. But even in that, we've asked the financial services board to assist us with a survey on even the funeral papers, the 6 funeral papers that Google got. Is that worthy? Is it safe? So, we're struggling a little bit in the micro-lending sphere that is outside of our control. Because there's the informal arrangement in the formal. NDRC, however, is working with us.
We have touched upon a strange name. What is the project of the NDRC's product with us with micro-lending?
Yeah, anyway, that project goes up and looks for where you find the micro-lender with the card, with the ID, that comes up better. On the current situation, and let's say CPS, which is current situation, CPS itself is not a micro-lender. But it belongs to a stable of companies under the F1 standard. So if I look at my contract, the service level agreement is made in amendments to. We are looking currently at regulatory reform. But we're also looking at working with the agencies of government. Because we have to. But that company itself is not micro-lender. And we need my contract with this company. We need to look at other ways to manage our situation. I think Minister has been quite vocal because we believe that poor people should be treated with respect. But we also have to do community education. Because you see, our people respond to SMS. And it's actually the 4 letters that buy through SMS. The reason for having a card that is a debit card, as I said before, was to liberate our people. But when you do that sharp, sharp sweeping, unscrupulous, stop trying to target. You can even see banks offering loans. Very nice banks, because before, all you need is an income, they call it, of $1,200. How much is the pension? $1,200. So we've seen a kind of attack on poor people. But the thing that we have to define is whether a grant or pension can be considered an income. And how do we tighten that to reduce people using that as collateral in the process? It's easy. Like everybody's got the last 3 digits on the back of your card, recognize what time you are, you get onto the payment system, there's a mailer in banking. It's looking at the different options, which Melissa has given us a very short turnaround time, to come with the strategy on many levels. Does not rule out looking at penalties, but you can only provide penalties if your service provider is not maintaining standards. So we are currently in the process of looking at everything at our disposal. Our duty is to protect our beneficiaries and to make pensions work for our people. But we knew when we entered a modern era, electricity, airtime, political, even transport subsidization would come through our part of poor people in the future. And we would go into discussions with the transport, we would go into discussions with big stores and say, if on a Monday and Saturday, what discounts would you offer? But now we're having to go and tighten our rent on our car to protect our people. So we beyond actually the discussion, we're more at the strategic front of how we want to deal with this matter to protect our people. And we'll have to look at the management of the car process. I mean, Melissa set up a lined up meetings in this week to address these issues. We're looking at the Reserve Bank assistance, at the NFC, the NCR, and the wide range, and even commercial legal opening on these matters. So in terms of working with the world, can I just say that NICOM is the footprint project of the Department of Social Development, and SACLA is a critical sector in the family of social development. We do work with the board, I think, in KZN, it's the Wiseman, Mother Seller, who leads the corner. Franco leads the corner here in the Western Cape County, and Leone leads the corner in the Free State. So we are extending our footprint and reaching out to our people through that one.
are waiting for 2016 when every older person will be entitled to the pension. We're also pushing constantly for the CSG to be liberated in the same way. So that's what we're doing. In terms of the list of people implicated in fraud, the fraud and compliance manager is there. We have a list of officials. We do not advertise it purely because some of it's in this your core processes, but we do have people who have already completed, and if that is required, we can add to that. In terms of compliance with the National Development Plan, training and equipping our staff. We must recall that when SASA was formed on the project, it was formed off the basis of people reviewing the DSD at that time. It was just putting it together. Now we actually down the capacity model to put it in. It now has been prepared for the next phase of SASA, that we have to build the capacity. Ms. Duncan is here as an executive manager, and one of her central minimum criteria of her performance is training of the staff. But then you also have to look at who you're taking from. The vulnerability. We have gone to SSA and we will get vetting officers. We are very determined that in order to boot out and get ready for taking over payment, this is what we must do. So that will in fact happen. And that's another area of risk reduction in what you're taking through the front door. That's very important. I've spoken to the biometric smart card and the data cleansing process and the running of systems. We found the birth certificates because we want to start what's called a virtual registry. That's how long it is. At the moment, we have hard copy documents. We recently there was a fine came in at the middle file, and we all panicked because some of the evidence for some of our matters could be stored in it. We'd like to have a virtual biometric. But we also have to be compliant with the Auditor General in terms of what hard copy has to be in the file. And that birth certificate has to be in the file. So, but because of our closer working relationship, I think I'm seeing the DG along with their next. We've formed greater working times with all the sister departments. We're working together on quite a few things to make interoperability a reality in the future, and to reduce the paper that we are currently. In terms of bank charge, perhaps if you'd like to speak to the first step banking, which is no charge, and then the secondary phase banking fee. Mr. O.
Thank you, Chair. The interchange fees, and I think that's for Treasury and Reserve Bank calls, and obviously those are fees that the banks will charge in between themselves. It simply means that if you use my ATM, I'm going to charge you. And I think the issuing bank and the acquiring bank would be in the free fee. The kind of challenge with the system in South Africa is that government does not regulate that space. The fees, the interchange fees, are set by the banks itself. So government can give input in terms of what would be the fair pricing. Now, we have approached the Reserve Bank for intervention, and we have approached Treasury, but the response is the fact that the bank did itself obviously set price, and I think they do that in light of the fact that they want to allow competition between the various banks in itself, so they want to over-regulate. But we now obviously talking directly with the head of the National Payment System, who in turn is representing us at the banking forum to hopefully continue them to be able to lower rates, not only for beneficiaries, but even for all the person for use of the infrastructure. So the way feedback from the South African Reserve Bank.
That means beneficiaries using the Grindrod bank cards are paying more than what a normal bank, if I were to ask them, you might have to go. Because they're paying, as you said, from one bank to the other, or they're higher fee. So it's not small bank charges of ours, it's a higher fee. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Can I just clarify, when we say normal bank charges would apply, there's a standard rate in terms of how much you would draw. If you draw 1,000 Rand, for example, they would charge you 3.50 Rand for that 1,000 Rand if you then exceed. There are also other costs associated with bank charges. In other banks, if you use my ATM, the issuing bank, that simply means on the number of the volume of the transactions that you are doing per month. Because in most cases, if you're going to do an ATM inquiry and SAS switch machine, you are going to pay the applicable rate for using that SAS switch again, you will hold that bank. Now, where the Grindrod beneficiaries are concerned, it simply means if they need a statement, they can call the Grindrod call center and request a statement, and that will be issued for free. But if they print it at any other banking infrastructure, they're going to obey the applicable rate. And those could differ from bank to bank, depending what the charges are. As far as any other transaction costs concerned, then if they use the faster infrastructure, it simply means that points of sale, the devices that are installed at retail stores, they are controlled, obviously, through the service level agreement with the service provider, then the costs are not going to be. We try to encourage people not to use any of the commercial banks right now because the fees obviously will apply to them on which ATM you use in the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anything
The whole business nationally, we've received about 49,500 whole business nationally, and I think that those have been completed in all of the 8 provinces, except for Western Cape, who has just got about 70 whole businesses left. Hopefully, it's going to complete it at the end of October. I want to stress something about home visits. As we begin to complete them, and there are about 24,500 citizens over the age of 75 who had not applied for a home visit as a result of various justified or unjustified reasons, those grants we chose not to cancel. As and when they become aware, then they apply. So that target keeps moving in some of the cases. We've made provision to extend it up until the end of November, and by the 1st of December we might be forced then to do a forced registration where we're going to put a stop payment on the account to be able to force the business to do. So as and when they come forward, of course, their target might change from time to time, but it's safe to assume that those that apply within the since we registration has started nationally, we dealt with those except for the 70 that have been paid. But I'd also want to say, Chair, that as and when we suspend grants because of non-compliance, those people come back and apply, but when they make the application to apply, if they're in a position not to come to home, they then apply for a home visit. So that's a moving target, if I have to put it that way, thanks.
Okay, in terms of the issues out of the SIU report, the SIU since 2005 has been dealing with that this issue. We have asked because of the standard and the finding out through February and specific work ordered by ourselves on things like supply chain, like the conflict of interest for staff, etc. They have to start closing out their work with the second in 4 and 5 years, which is a close report of the many investigations we've done. We commanded the manager here is for fraud and compliance. We've asked them, and now because they're starting to close out the report, the legacy that they've been dealing with, one report took them 3.5 years to complete. It's because investigations take time. The medical assessment that's being ongoing now for I think it's 3rd year. So they're starting to close out their work on Saturday that has taken time. They will also then, as part of the agreement, hand over the debtors book to ourselves. So in future, our relationship with the SIU will take a very focused position of work that will tie up all the loose ends, and that's what is starting to report. And we will then obviously respond to some of the areas of work. But this is all the work that's coming to now in a report where they're starting to prepare for the report for us. So we will continue to work with them on the back of our indicators, which is supply chain management, the conflict of interest with staff. But it would be my point is you can't keep saying that as a report. You need to assist us in dealing with it. Because we don't have the opportunity to go directly to SARS. That was one of the issues I struggled with. Because if SARS assists us, if you see a person's personal relationship with the taxman is a personal relationship. So they are reporting now, finally, in the close-up, and we're happy for that. We will follow through on all the issues raised by them, but some is a historic note coming through right now. The medical assessment, we have particular areas, and I must say that that's the most
plant at the moment. When doctors, in fact, have they been vulnerable to infection, and some of them have charged money for it. And that's been an ongoing investigation, and we need to have told us on that. So that's a matter. In terms of fraud management strategy, we do have one. We are actually also having a conference next month. The company of death factor has to take over the death, and we'll also have death that emerge from the cleanup post re-reg for the cases that did not come forward where we find that the death has been incurred. So there will have to be a death structure, and this is part of the critical post that we also, the management system, will have to be in place. In terms of the closure of offices, when we close offices, and I want to thank this committee again for its report on where we were vulnerable, chairperson, because we made investigations work at the vulnerable areas. Queue management is one of the issues raised very strongly. Sleepovers, so that people go out. So we tried to attend to some of the areas where committee has not done work, but also the problems we haven't sorted ourselves out. So we will constantly report to the Honourable Chair and members after each of your visits and where you said that this is what you like to see from us, as we will attempt to deal with these things. We have closed the office only for a day or so, and then gone through all the files and then put a new team in that office. Whilst we put the team who works in the office on compulsory special needs. Then the report is done. We then decide who comes back and who can perform this assessment. So it's quite a mechanism to get through this. We send in a squad of people. Internal control, fraud management, so we have to secure evidence, if there's evidence to be found. We've had to contract additional support during the time of external service providers because of the level of the work done. But then there's masses of files we have to run through to track. When you take on, and this is another risk reduction, the same thing, 10 person comes with 10, 21 person, which is the approval person, those are the things you're running through. This will stop 10 reports, you will verify the honorable chair, and to find the thing of who in fact approved the grant without medical assessment. Those are the things which is the signature, a fraudulent signature, is there a doctor like that in school? Could I ask you to just speak to cross border issue which you guys check?
The issue of the cross border, and I think I'm probably linked to the international withdrawals. Maybe for the international withdrawals, because the card is an interoperable card, it can be used anywhere. From time to time, you find that a person would swipe their card in America or in England, Europe, and I think, of course, to entitle, they're probably visiting family or friends, obviously. So as it would be a one-off swipe. What we've noted of late, and I think when we look at the statistics around the international withdrawal, there are 60 beneficiaries for the last 6 to 12 months who constantly draw their money at specific ATMs, and I think it's Lesotho, Swaziland, Mozambique, and I think we are aware of those 60 beneficiaries, and I think during the review process we'll be reviewing those specifically to find out as to whether they are in fact African citizens or they have dual citizenships before we then cancel, and I think that will form part of our broader back office re-registration, because re-registration obviously has stopped already in terms of it 2 months ago, so now we're busy with the ban of mopping those cases up. As far as applications are concerned, we're still going to have those cross-border applications being done at those various provinces that border those cities, because in most cases you might find that a child might have a relative over the border and in South Africa, and very often that if a child does qualify in terms of the rights of campaign, of course those applications will be attested. We just have to apply our rules, the government of this country, in terms of who's the primary caregiver and if the child is in fact eligible itself. But that would form part of our border. But over and above that, the review process that we're undertaking at the moment is also looking at those issues in terms of whether these children are eligible or not.
So the questions were about our interoperability and interface with other government departments. I must say that Home Affairs is literally a home visitor right now, because we're all looking at the card and how we can interface in that discussion. We're speaking very closely to
93 years, yeah, against the population data, his evidence, as well as the 17-year-old. That's another area that we have conducted research in and found that we're not having the numbers against what is projected. I just thought to add that. She doesn't seem that if we might have responded to most of the queries, comments, and the questions, and if there's anything outstanding, I'm sure we'll talk to your time. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much for that response to all the questions on the online. We will be finalizing the report to Parliament, and then we will be making some recommendations to the House for the Minister and the staff to implement. It's been quite a lengthy thinking. I think we know the fact that you promised for the young and the youth, you've actually, as I think as I mentioned earlier, that you've taken the leap in drawing up your own financial statements. You have with the process of around 2011-2014 financial year. And that I was glad to take in the views of the constituency, that's very important. Because of the public representatives, and we also we have constituencies which is your beneficiaries. And this is very big up issue that is of some importance. So thank you very much for the briefing. Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for making the chance.